Welcome to the Healing Journeys Today podcast. Today we've got an amazing message of hope and healing just for you. God's word never returns to him void, so let this message sink deep into your heart so that you can walk out your complete healing journey today.
Hi, this is Deborah McDermott, and you are at Healing Journeys Today. Thank you for joining me again. I'm going to speak on praying in tongues this week. I did notice quite a lot of you have sent questions in with regard to speaking in tongues, and it's an incredibly important subject, so I'm going to speak about it. That's my book, Healing Autism Healed, and it's about how I walked through my healing journey for my two boys who were healed of autism, and that's available on Amazon. I'm not going to cover the is tongues for today or did it pass away with the apostles side of things today. I'm going to presume that you have come to the conclusion that tongues is for today, and then we're going to move on with that. But I'm going to speak about praying in tongues and how beneficial it is to us today, now, and how important it is. It's something that's incredibly powerful. And I believe it's been underutilized, really, by a lot of Christians, and unappreciated, misunderstood. It's not just another good thing to do on your to-do list if you are a tongue-talking Christian. And it's not just for those who are not tongue-talking, just something that they do to prove that they're spirit-filled, you know, some Pentecostal fun times. In fact, really, when you're in groups, speaking in tongues is the least important gift from the point of view of, you know, when you're talking to God. It's unedifying, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 14, which is the chapter for tongues. So anyway, that's that. But the thing that I would like to emphasize is that this is a tool, this is a gift that God has given us so that we can walk in supernatural revelation and understanding and knowledge that sets us at a tremendous advantage above our non-born again peers who are trying to cope with this world and this life without that added help. It's an incredibly integral part of the gospel. The good news is that we have this spirit-to-spirit connection with our God. It's an advantage of being a supernatural being, a spirit being connected to our spirit God, a huge tool to help us walk through our journeys, tapping God's divine knowledge and understanding at a spirit-to-spirit level. We must never underestimate the incredible value of this gift. I would say it's like a skeleton key that opens every solution door to all the questions and the problems that we have. But because it's non-specific, it's often overlooked while people look and search for specific answers or solutions, spiritual solutions to our problems. Firstly, when we're born again, we all receive the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit comes a heavenly language. And that is the evidence of the Holy Spirit, is that we speak in tongues. But we've all received a heavenly language. But whether we are actively using it or not, or acknowledge it and believe it or not, is not the relevant thing. We have received it according to the Bible, according to Acts. The Holy Spirit is the gift we receive when our spirits are made alive and one with Christ. Now, Christ means the anointed one. We are now carriers of the anointed one and his anointing. The spirit beings connected to God, spirit to spirit. That is our born-again spirit connected to God. And that anointing never leaves. Once again, this is a spiritual reality, a truth that is not dependent on whether we feel it or not. And whether we are feeling something when we are anointed or not is not the relevant thing. Yes, there are times when you can get a sense that there is faith, that there is an anointing, that there is a much more evident presence of God. But that is not when he turned up on the scene or the anointing did. That is, he is with us always, the anointed one, and his anointing is in us and with us always. Feelings, emotions, they come and go. They are not the yardstick by which we measure whether we have the anointing. 1 John 2, I'll start with 20. 1 John. Sorry, 1 John 2, 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. This is the scripture that caused Andrew Womack a lot of problems when he was when he first read it, and inspired a greater understanding, which he then put in his book, Spirit, Soul, and Body. If you haven't read it, I would encourage you to do that. That is a real foundation stone. So we have an anointing from the Holy One, and we know all things. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not a genius. I'm not entirely daft, but I can be. And I know that I don't know all things here in my carnal, in my mind. And so what that is referring to is us as spirit beings. We know all things. The thing is how do we get to that place where what we know in our spirit man becomes something we are able to understand, acknowledge, and live out in our soulish realm, our mind, our will, and emotions. And that is what I'm going to discuss, because tongues is like a bucket that goes into our spirit man, pulls out what we know, the wisdom of God, etc. And it also says in verse 27, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. It abides in you. That means it doesn't come and go. It's not a feeling, an emotion, an anointing that's there and then it's not there. And then it's there, hallelujah, but then something bad happens or life happens and, oh, well, I've lost it. Now it's gone. No, feelings, emotions, things like that come and go, but the anointing abides. That is a biblical truth. That is we know that, we believe it because it says so, not because we feel it or not. So Acts 2:4 is where we first see, this is Pentecost time, where the 120 were in upper room waiting. And in verse 4 it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Firstly, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. They all spoke with other tongues when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the gift. The speaking in tongues is the evidence of that gift. They all received it. And likewise, when we are born again, we receive the Holy Spirit and we have received our heavenly language at the same time. Then it says, as the Spirit gives them utterance. I'll go into that a little more, but this is something where people are often confused. You see, there are two types of tongues. There is the tongues that is the gift of tongues that we receive when we are born again and we receive the Holy Spirit. Then if you go into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this is the entire chapter where Paul goes through the ministry gifts, the gifts of the Spirit that are put into the church for the ministering to the saints. And he goes through all the ministry gifts. And when we get to, let me see, where do we get to? Further down, verse 10. And to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, this is a ministry gift. as opposed to the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. This is the ministry gift of tongues. And how this works is in a meeting where there is a congregation of the saints, one person will receive a word in tongues from the Lord. They will speak it out. And then either they or them somebody else will get an interpretation so that the saints can hear from God. It is to minister to the saints. They get an interpretation in their own language for an understanding, and it's to minister to the saints. With that type of tongue, there must always be an interpretation. Whereas this is a tongue where God is talking through tongues and interpretation to the saints to minister to them. The other type of tongues, which Paul then goes on to talk about in chapter 14, this is, and I'll read all about that, but this is when we speak to God from our spirit man, direct to God. This is us talking to God, whereas the gift is God talking to man and is interpreted. So those are the two different gifts of tongues. One is a gift of tongues. The other is really the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Okay. So the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues is different, and it's not to minister to others at all, because really no one can understand. It means nothing to them. It's not edifying to them. It is specifically for the individual and for our benefit. And it is us talking to God. It's for our benefit. It's for intercession in our lives. And it doesn't benefit anybody else around us when we're going off in tongues. And it's absolutely powerful for ourselves. Now, let's see. What does Paul say about it? I'll go 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. So firstly, this is where we are speaking to God. It's all about us speaking to God. Then the second, it speaks mysteries. I love that, because another interpretation is divine secrets. We speak out divine secrets from our spirit man who knows all things, that is created in the image and likeness of God and is perfect and righteous. We speak out divine secrets. Now our minds are limited, and so this bypasses our soulish realm and goes straight from our spirit, speaking divine secrets to God. I love that. You know, it makes you think of somebody who is looking after toddlers for, you know, hours, possibly days on end. And when an adult comes into your sphere, suddenly it's like, speak adult to me. You know, you get fed up of baby talk and child talk and dealing with little ones. And you long for an intelligent conversation with a fellow adult. Okay. Well, we in our spiritual development and wherever we are as far as our revelation, which is something that we are continually getting, we are in different places. And, you know, I sometimes think that when we speak in tongues, it must be so nice for God. He's like, yay, finally some adult conversation. Because it bypasses the limits of our minds. And we really speak the mysteries of God to God. And it blesses him. And of course, it manifests in our lives, which I will continue to unfold as we go on. Then in verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So us speaking in tongues is not for edifying of the congregation or each other. It's purely for the edification of ourselves. When we speak, it edifies us. Now, the thing is that edifies means to build ourselves up. It means to make ourselves strong. It means to encourage us. Now, you think of the many times all of us are dealing with issues and problems in our lives, and there is always that temptation to be discouraged, to be weary, you know, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, physically, spiritually. There is that time when we're just like, I cannot, I'm done. And that is when we need, preferably even before that time really, to edify ourselves by speaking in tongues. And as we do that, it builds us up. That strength that is in our inner man, it's like we send a bucket down into the well of our spirit man, and we bring up the strength, the wherewithal, that supernatural power, and we edify ourselves, we encourage ourselves. And when our minds and our emotions are encouraged, our physical self becomes stronger and more able to continue to function. And so there are different ways that we respond when we are feeling discouraged. One of the most obvious is to find a sympathetic soul, often a spouse or a best friend, and pour out our woes to them. That is not a good idea, because number one, I see, like, have mercy on your friends and relatives and spouses, you know, to a limited degree. There's communication, but as far as pouring out of your woes is concerned, it would be so much better to stop that and immediately just start speaking in tongues and edifying yourself. What a really sad and unfortunate reality is that negative emotions attract demons. They love a pity party, and they come. They congregate. It like gives off this unpleasant aroma, this sad, this distressing, this despairing aroma. And they all think, yes, let's come to this party. But, and this is a funny revelation I got yesterday. But when you're speaking in tongues, you do genuinely feel at times, especially if there's an oppressive atmosphere, that it changes the atmosphere around you. And that is because we are becoming edified and our emotions do respond. Anyway, I'll go on about that a little later. And Paul says in chapter 5, I wish you all spoke with tongues. I wish you all spoke with tongues. Now, if Paul says that, then whatever it is he wishes I did, I want it. Because Paul's not dumb. He wrote 2/3 of the Bible and he had an incredible ministry. If he wishes for me to speak in tongues, or for you to speak in tongues, or for all of us to speak in tongues, all I can say to that is amen. And then I'm going to skip down to, let me see, 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Once again, we see that it is our spirit that prays. And if we needed it before, if we weren't quite sure, this is proof that we are more than just, you know, a personality, the soulish realm, the mind, the will, and the emotions, and a body. That is what the world thinks we are. But there is another part of us, the real us. And that is the bit that prays. That is the bit that is activated and functioning when we pray in tongues. Our spirit us, the real us, when God looks at us, that's who he sees. That is the real us. And then we connect with him. This is an intimacy. This is a relationship. This is a communication, bypassing the limits of our minds and our personalities, and just going straight spirit to spirit in communication with God. Our spirit prays, but our understanding is unfruitful. 15 says, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with my spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. That's great. We can sing, we can pray. I love, if there's a tune of a song, but I don't like the words, it's wonderful because you can still enjoy the tune, sing along, and completely change the words as you sing in tongues. Then in verse 17, it says, for indeed you give thanks well. We give thanks well. I love that, because if you go to Ephesians 5:20, it says, give thanks always. And that's often bothered me, because I don't know about you, but I have moods. I have moments and times when I'm not in the mood for giving thanks well, or even at all. You know, I can, sometimes find that I really don't feel like giving thanks. And it's like, well, yeah, I know, and I should be grateful, and I'm sorry I'm feeling like this, but I'm just not feeling very grateful right now. I'm feeling burdened and put upon and troubled. And that's when you think, okay, I am to give thanks always. I'm just going to go straight into tongues, because then I bypass my mood, my emotions and everything else, and I can start giving thanks well. And in that way, whatever it is that's been troubling me, the atmosphere changes and the Holy Spirit starts ministering to me, and I am speaking spirit to spirit with God. And that's what I was going to say when I was speaking earlier about getting a little revelation yesterday. Once again, it's the thing about the emotions, and when we're not in a place of feeling thankful, when our emotions are in a negative place, and the demons, you know, they want to take advantage of that, and the atmosphere can become quite oppressive. So I was in my bathroom, I looked up, and up there was a spider. Now I'm in England, and a spider that size is about the biggest I've ever seen in this country. And it was the one of those. It was huge, this big spider up there. And it was high up. Now, I grew up in Africa. I kill nunus, creatures that come in my house. They're trespassing, and I kill them. So sorry, lovely English people who don't, or any lovely American people who don't, or whatever. But me, they're trespassing, they die. So I'm looking at this big spider thinking, I don't want to whack it with a shoe up there, because it might fall down my sleeve, or, you know, in my face. And I've been there already. I'm not making that mistake again. So I've got fly spray, and I don't use it for flies. I've got an executioner for that. But I use this, and what I do is I give the spider a spray up there, and then that disturbs and freaks him out, and he then sort of like loses the will to be up there, and he sort of starts coming down. And when he comes down, he's half incapacitated, and I whack him. That's the end of that trouble. But as I was spraying this fly spray up at the spider, the Lord said to me, that's how the demons respond when you're praying in tongues. I thought, ooh, that's wonderful. I'm giving thanks well. I'm giving thanks well. They don't like it. We know that when we praise and worship, it's a form of spiritual warfare. The enemy doesn't like it. He doesn't hang around for that. And you imagine I'm praying in tongues and I'm giving thanks well. It's like, take that. And they're all like, get out of there. Get out of there. It's that was encouraging. And yeah. Yes, I was thinking when in Romans 4:17 onwards, where it talks about Abraham, and he had been promised that he was be a father of many nations, but he was walking by faith for many, many years. And it said he gave praise and glory to God, and he grew strong in faith, giving praise and glory to God. You know, giving praise and glory to God, being thankful, giving thanks to God, builds up your faith like it did with Abraham. It says he grew strong in faith, giving praise and glory to God, knowing that what he had promised, he was well able to achieve. So giving thanks well is something that we should do. And when we don't feel like doing it, the most perfect giving thanks well we can do is just go straight into tongues. And it's just like we bypass everything else. And we spraying the enemy with fly spray. Toxic, poisonous to them. I love that. Right, 18. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Now this is the man who said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can be abased, I can be down, I can abound. I can be poor, I can be rich. I can be in pain and hunger and cold. I can be satisfied and warm and comfy and healed. I can be in nights and nights in storms and shipwrecks. And I can be, Paul went through some stuff and he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, where do you think he got that strength from? He says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. And I wish you all spoke with tongues. Man, and when I made that connection, it made me excited. I have said for many years, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Where is that Christ who strengthens me? He's connected. I am in my born again spirit. I am one with Christ. And in that spirit, when I speak in tongues, that anointing and his anointing comes through and it strengthens me. It brings what is in my spirit man out into the soulish realm, like opening a tap. And that encourages me. I give thanks well. It lifts the demonic oppression and it builds me up. And then I too can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now I see where Paul, not just Paul because he was some great dude. He was playing by the rules. Yeah, it says in 19, yet in church I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Which means he wasn't going to church to speak tongues. That's not the place where we should go to speak in tongues. We should speak in tongues before we get there so that we are edified. We can't encourage others if we're discouraged. But if we build ourselves up and we are encouraged, when we get there, we can be a blessing and we can encourage other people. I mean, of course, we, when praise and worship, we often go off into tongues. But, you know, those people who get loud and start shouting out in tongues, not with an interpretation, but just because they're filled with the Spirit, that's another thing altogether. And Paul is saying that's just people, stop it. I'd rather just speak 5 words intelligently with my understanding than 10,000 in another tongue, because it's edifying you, but not everybody else. And Paul's like, when we get in church, we're here to edify each other. I edify you and you edify me and we're both edified, and hallelujah. That's why we gather. But, so moving on, he goes on about talking about how to move in the gifts and in tongues in an orderly way so as to edify each other. But I'm going to skip down to 39. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. So he's saying, although it's not always appropriate and, you know, it's between you and God and you shouldn't disrupt meetings with it, etc., etc., don't forbid to speak with tongues. And we know why, because he's already told us what's so good about it. And he said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. So don't forbid to speak with tongues. But let all things be done decently and in order. So there we go. Mark 16:17. This is Jesus speaking, and he said, and these signs will follow those who believe, not the non-believers. So it's not of the devil, because they're not speaking in tongues at your average watering hole, you know, down the sleazy nightclub or wherever it is they're congregating. In my name, they will cast out demons and they will speak with new tongues. That is for the believers. And that is you and me. When we become a believer, that is when our spirit is regenerated. It becomes alive. And that is when the Holy Spirit is with us and we have been given a heavenly language. Therefore, we will speak in tongues. Now we'll go on to Acts now. And once again, 2:4, where it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this is the thing I want to speak about. It's the Spirit giving us utterance. It isn't the Holy Spirit talking through us. It's us who have the control, and we can decide to open our mouths and speak, or we can shut our mouths and be quiet. We can apply the volume up or down. It is under our control. You know, when people say, I can't help it, and the pastor is trying to teach and they're going crazy, and they say, I can't help it, it's the Holy, I'm filled with the Spirit. That's nonsense. The Holy Spirit speaks. When we are filled with the Spirit, we speak, but we give him the voice. It's our control, it's our voice, it's our choice. I could be speaking in tongues right now, but as Paul has said, that's not going to edify anybody but me. And so I choose to speak with my understanding. So it's under our control. We can shut our mouths or we can open them. We can choose to speak in any language or we can choose to speak in tongues. It is entirely under our control. Bearing in mind that Galatians 5, 22 and 23 lists the fruit of the Spirit. This is the fruit of our born-again spirit within us. And it lists those as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So no manifestation of the Holy Spirit is going to act contrary to our born-again spirit. And always the control and the self-control is ours as a fruit of the Spirit. Okay. There is no contradiction between the Holy Spirit and our born-again spirit. We are that, you know, we are one in spirit. Ephesians 5, 18 to 20 says, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Speaking. How do you be filled with the Spirit? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That is what happens when we are filled with the Spirit, when we are together with fellow believers. We speak to one another in psalms. And then we sing hymns and spiritual songs and make melody in our heart to the Lord. And some people claim to be filled with the Spirit, and there's, I mean, I've had it myself recently. Well, you know, I'm just saying what the Spirit told me to say. And then what comes out of their mouths? Criticisms, complainings, gossipings, cynical attitudes. At best, this is simply yielding to the flesh. So when we're filled with the Spirit, we yield our tongue to the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, Romans 8, 26 to 28 says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." You know, as I've said, we don't always know what to pray. It says here, we don't always know how to pray as we ought. But when we pray in the Spirit, he makes intercession for us according to the will of God. Once again, it's like the Lord's Prayer, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He makes intercession for us according to God's will, which the Spirit knows much better than we do. And there are times when we know that we don't know, and we just go into tongues and speak out those divine secrets, those mysteries. It says, he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I love that because of what follows. Then Romans 8, 28. And what this is referring to, the previous scriptures, when we speak things that are too difficult, when we don't know how to pray as we ought, and we speak with groanings that cannot be uttered, then he who searches the hearts and knows the Spirit makes intercession according to the will of God. So when we are speaking in the Spirit, when we are spirit to spirit communicating with God, then he makes intercession, and we are then praying according to God's will. And it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." That has been so, so misunderstood. It's when we are speaking and in tongues, when we are speaking in our spirit, from our spirit, the Holy Spirit takes that. And then he is able to pray according to God's will. When we don't know what to pray. And that is when all things work together for good to those who love God. Then things will work together for good. It's not, "Oh, shame, you're having another hard time. Oh, well, you know, somehow God's going to work it for his good and his glory." Rubbish. You need to stop wallowing in that situation and allow the Holy Spirit to make intercession by speaking spirit to spirit with God. Then all things will work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. He gave us tongues. This is part of his purpose, part of his power, part of the toolbox that we have been given to walk in his will and make his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in our lives, as he wants. Bring his will down so that we can walk in it and function in it. You know, I used to feel so powerless, you know, when religion had taught me that everything that happens to me, God either is doing to me or allowing. And then they try and tell me that God loves me, and I'm like, but that is a wicked doctrine, and I'll go address that quite soon. But it confused and distressed me, and it made me feel totally powerless. I was a victim, and I would blame God for everything the devil was doing to me, because that's what I was being told. God's either punishing me or teaching me, and it made me feel so powerless. But as I have learned, and as I've renewed my mind to the word of God more and more, I realized just how much he has already given us, how we are more than conquerors, and how powerful we are, and how to deal with the attacks of the enemy and when things happen. And you know, this whole thing of spirit, soul, and body. Say this is the body. Our soul overlaps with our body and is over here in the middle. And then our spirit overlaps with our soul over here. And as we renew our minds to the word of God, so our soul comes more in line with our spirit. And then what's in our spirit is able then to flow through our soul and manifest through in our body and in our lives. That is the whole reason we are learning. We are changing our minds, and we are trying to get rid of that brainwashing of the world and of a lot of religious nonsense that we have to unlearn, and renewing our mind to God's word, God's ways. And that empowers us to walk out the victorious life that he's given us. One of the ways that we can do that is through praying in tongues. And you know, in the very early days, when my mind was far from renewed and I didn't even know about healing, I had tongues and I would use it, and I saw miracles in my life that I wasn't believing for very much. I was hoping for, but I didn't have an understanding of that's my right, that's my destiny. God gave me that, Jesus bought it for me at the cross, and I'm now contending for it. I just thought, you know, God can heal, but he might not. So I'm going to say, Lord, this is what I need, and I'm going to pray in tongues and hope. And you know, I saw healing and I saw interesting things simply because my spirit went and it gave the Holy Spirit something to work with, and he interceded, speaking the will of God, which then God was able to intervene in my situation because I had prayed. He doesn't intervene unless we invite him to. And he was then able to bring healing and miracles in my life that I didn't even know I had a right to. I was just hoping and wondering still. Which is quite extraordinary. And I put it down really to the fact that I prayed so much in the spirit, in tongues. I'll give you an example. I am the one, there's always one, and I am the member of the family that all my brothers and sisters would give their unwanted pets to. So I received this hamster, the Siberian hamster, which became Tim's when he was sort of 6 years old. And he loved this little hamster. It was cute and fluffy, and we called it Fluffy. We had just moved into temporary accommodation, having lost our house because we were in financial trouble because Christopher had a nervous breakdown. We were in temporary accommodation. All our stuff was in boxes everywhere, and we were about to move into a rented accommodation. Christopher had just started a new job. Tim was in a very bad place. He hadn't got a formal diagnosis yet. I was still resisting it, but it was close to the time when we finally went and got that. But he was in a really difficult place. Anybody who knows children with Asperger's knows that this would be their worst nightmare. Your schedule is all out. Your surroundings are all out. You're in a new place. Everything's unfamiliar. And they become very distressed. And it manifests in eating. It manifests in sleeping. It manifests in behaviors. And I was doing everything I could to try and keep Tim calm and focus on trying to normalize things around him. I was also almost 8 months pregnant with James at this point. And And to put in context where my faith was, I still didn't know about healing as far as any sort of revelation that Jesus had done it at the cross. But I did know God, and I did have tongues, and I had already seen the miracle of James. I had been told I wouldn't be able to conceive again, and if I did conceive again, I wouldn't be able to carry to term because of various issues. And this is in my book, so if you want to find out more, you read my book. But I had faith, and I was seeing wonderful things, answers to prayers. And so I absolutely believed and had huge faith that God was able to do stuff. I just wasn't sure of anchoring it and it is already done or any of that yet. But a nightmare disaster happened. One day, Tim said, "Fluffy's still sleeping. I haven't seen Fluffy all day." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." And I lifted up Fluffy's little house and prodded Fluffy, only to find Fluffy was hard and cold. And I put the little house down and I said, "Fluffy's just resting, darling. And he'll wake up when he's ready." And then I went straight to God and I was like, "Lord, you need to do something, because you and I both know what Tim is like." And, you know, the psychiatrist had explained it to me that children, normal children, neurotypical, can be upset and distressed and their emotions go down and they are distressed, etc., etc., but they go to a level, and from here they are then comforted. They self-soothe, they are comforted by loved ones, whatever, and from here then the emotions and the feelings go back up again, and then they can cope with real life again. And that's just the normal ups and downs of childhood. He said, but with children like Tim, that border is not there. When he becomes distressed, he has no way of coping with that internal pain and distress. And so it goes down, and it keeps going down, and it keeps going down, and it keeps going down, during which time his internal pain gets so bad, he physically cannot stay on his feet, and he is writhing on the floor, weeping uncontrollably in spasms, and doesn't know how to stop. And I can stand by, and then nothing I can do can comfort him. And we would just put cushions around him and wait for this episode of internal agony to wear itself out as he became physically more and more exhausted from the sobbing. And, you know, Christopher and I both knew we had gone through this. It was the most awful, heart-rending thing to witness. And we protected him from anything sad or distressing as much as we possibly could. But he has this dead hamster, and I'm thinking, on top of it all, I'm out here with the baby. Everything's in turmoil. Christopher's gone to a brand new job. He can't take time off. Boxes everywhere. You know, Tim's not sleeping and eating properly. He's distressed. He's easily upset. And now this hamster. And I said, "Okay, Lord, you are the creator of all things. You are God. You can do miracles. You do anything. I am taking this problem. Something special's got to happen here. Either this hamster comes back to life or Tim gets healed of that problem. I don't know which, but I'm putting this." And in my mind's eye, I put the hamster and Tim in a box, did it up, taped it up. And I'm like, "Here, take it, do something with it. But I'm expecting you to do something, because I cannot cope with this now. I cannot, I will not. You are God. You can do miracles. You're going to have to intervene." And then I started to did the only thing I knew to do when I knew nothing more and I didn't know how to pray as I ought. I just went into tongues and I made James, Tim, his breakfast. And it was, "You know, you are God. You just know, because you are God and I'm not dealing with this." And I just prayed in tongues all day. And I did what I needed to do and I was calm, because I knew that I had cast my care to the God of the universe, He who created all things. And somehow, I don't know how, but He's going to make it good, because I'm not dealing with this, because I cannot. And so I left it there. And that night he said, "Mummy, Fluffy still hasn't woken up." I said, "He must be very tired, darling. I'm tired too. This moving's tiring. Let's all go to sleep and we'll see how it is in the morning. And we'll just change Fluffy's food and water and give him some more wadding. He'll be fine." And I was like, "Lord, you got to do something, Daria Kashyanandanda. But I know you love my Tim and me. And I am not doing anything here. It's all yours." And I just, Naria Kashyandi, went to bed. And I woke up at 5 o'clock the next morning with this, and there's Fluffy on his little running wheel, running, who had already lived, according to the books, about 6 months more than most hamsters live. Well, Fluffy was raised from the dead after at least a whole day and night. I don't know how long before that, because when I prodded him, he was cold and stiff. But Fluffy was warm and he was running on his wheel, and he lived a whole nother year. During that time, Tim got to a different place, and by the time Fluffy finally died again, this time we could cope with it, and we had a little funeral for Fluffy and all was well. But that is just a fun, light-hearted example. We have really serious things going on in our lives, I would just like to say that where it says we don't know how to pray as we ought, that when we pray in tongues, we are building ourselves up, we are blessing God, we are giving thanks well. And in Jude 17 it says, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. So we're also building ourselves up on our most holy faith. You know, sometimes we can feel like we're worn out, our faith supply is just like, I'm done already, you know, walking by faith and not by sight. You know, when you're focused on spiritual things, it's fine, you're raring to go, and you feel like, you know, I'm moving mountains, I can do this, and I believe it, and I can walk by faith and not by what I see. And then you're focused on, you know, the physical and everything else, and then suddenly something physical hits you, and you're in a very physical realm, as we all are, and it's just like, and that's when it's before you say another word, it's nadiakashiyanonobarandanandanda, and you say, I walk by faith and not by sight. Thank you, Lord, that I'm building myself up on my most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. And you know, our first response to issues in our lives is where we are going to be heading with that. Make sure your first response is God is good, all is well, and then speak in tongues, and he can intercede on your behalf. So just to finish off, if any of you would like to receive your prayer language, if you aren't praying in tongues at the moment and you would like to, please phone a ministry. I know that the prayer ministers at Andrew Womack Ministries are trained in helping people to receive their prayer language, and the number there is 719-635-1111. You could also, you know, just read the word with regards tongues and release your faith and spend some time in the word and praying, and you can receive it at home or wherever you are. I know it'll be a blessing to you. And God bless you, and I'll see you next week. Bye.
We hope you got some great nuggets of wisdom out of that teaching. Thank you for listening to the Healing Journeys Today podcast. And don't forget, you can find us live on Facebook and YouTube 7 days a week. If you would like to donate, please go to www.healingjourneystoday.com. Isaiah 53:5 says, "And by his stripes, we are healed." God bless you.